And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I'm here, so
I'm Shea Gibbs Alexander, and I'm down to dunk.
Howdy, Oklahoma.
My name is Chet Holmgren, and I'm down to dunk.
Dead gum.
I'm Josh Giddey, and I'm down to dunk.
This is Lou Dort,
and I'm down to dunk.
Is that like you eat them together?
Everybody tells me to get the bag of burgers.
I need like a straw.
Howdy. I'm an artist on the court.
This is Jay Will, and I'm down to dunk.
My name is Kenrich Williams, and I'm down to dunk.
It might be Aaron Wiggins.
This is a troll. It's a troll. I'm trolling.
Howdy, Parker.
Because I think it would take away from who he is, you know?
Yeah.
I love Oklahoma. I love Oklahoma to death.
This is Lou Dort, and I'm down to Dort.
Perfect. Good. Very good.
I like the hat.
You like the hat?
Vava.
This is J-Dub, and I'm down to dunk. I've been doing a lot of dunking.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. I'm your host, Andrew Schleck. We're part of the Athletic Podcast Network. With me on this beautiful Saturday afternoon, a stormy afternoon, a thunderous afternoon, stormy. I've got... my guy, L-Man. I've got Michele Vera here.
Hey, is it the first time that I pod with Luke?
I think so.
Is it? Seriously?
Wow. After like, I don't know, 8 years?
I was going to say, a decade of podcasting. Here we are. Just to let everybody know, we're starting this podcast at a very disrespectful time to the New Orleans Pelicans. The Thunder haven't even... They haven't technically won this game yet, but the Thunder are going to win this game. They have absolutely dismantled the Pelicans and dismantled them on the boards, dismantled them from three today. They've hit at least 17 threes so far. The score currently is 104-81. You know, I thought, you know, going into this game, like maybe the Pelicans are going to come home. They've got to break that number 92. They still have a chance to do that, but boy, the Thunder defense was ridiculous. The Thunder offense was ridiculous. Michele, we only have you for a short while, so I just want to get your just general thoughts on this game.
I was impressed by a guy I never heard of. A guy like Holmgren.
Holmgren.
Like, what? Like, Reggie, please, can you at least learn Chet's surname? Anyway, it was a game that started off on a different vibe. I mean, the beginning of the game was actually, nice from both teams. I mean, OKC was not super duper sharp. Hey, Taylor is here. But then it was only a matter of time. And the second quarter ended up on an insane streak by Lou Dort, and in general, the Thunder defense, who was awesome for the entire night.
Yeah.
And that was game. I mean, yes, they kept it a little bit close, like around 10, but it was never, ever in question after, I would say, the 8-minute mark in the second quarter.
Yeah. And this was kind of exactly what we had talked about in the preview, where like this is a 1-8 matchup. Like, this is it. The Thunder are likely going to sweep, and at like bare minimum, gentlemen sweep this series. I mean, the Pelicans look to have no answers. They tried to go small today. They had figured out in game two that going to Jonas was not going to work. And so they flipped that today, where they played Valanciunas only 12 minutes and they played Larry Nance 29 minutes. That didn't work either. And I just need to tell you, Willie Green, there's not one thing you can do that is going to work. The series is over. The Thunder are going to move on to round two, and the Pelicans are going to go to the drawing board this summer. It's a very impressive showing from the Thunder today. Just outrageously impressive.
Yeah, every game they seem to have gotten so much stronger and more confident. Yeah. And it felt that way after game one. It was like, man, this game felt like everyone figuring out what is it like to play in the playoffs, you know? And then we still had a feeling, I don't think it's going to feel like that after this game. And sure enough, game two, it was way better. And then this game was like, I don't know. It was over so early. I mean, even to the Pelicans in that third quarter, their body language was so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like they had given up and they knew it was over too. And that's at the Pelicans. So yeah, I mean, this is just, it was so over. I was feeling so disrespectful. I want to be as disrespectful as possible.
I think that it was over the minute that J-Dub wore our shirt. I mean, when you come out that strong, you're winning that game.
Were you kind of scared, though, when he got injured?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this might be heading a different direction after J-Dub wore our shirt for the first time. And then he gets hurt on the first play of the game. I was like, no!
Jay, 100%, if that happened, Jay would be like, we can't wear that shirt anymore. We have to refund everyone. Jay's the most superstitious person on this podcast. He would hate us forever even starting to make that shirt.
Yeah. But J-Dub emerged. He played 35 minutes in this game and was, dude, J-Dub had some of the craziest threes in this one.
Yeah.
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 Craziest shots in general. I mean, he also had some like very weird jumpers at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, he had that one where he's like trying to pivot around Larry Nance, I believe, and he just like flies into the air and just like off balance hits this shot. I mean, just insane.
As we're doing this, they're trying to interview J-Dub on the TNT broadcast. He like ignores the TNT reporter to go join the Nick Gallo. And he's going to the – so he just snubbed him.
Oh, they got Keontae.
He just snubbed TNT?
He just snubbed –
They normally do the TNT one first, then go to Nick Gallo, straight to Nick Gallo, and he's J-Dub is in that one. And the lady, like, was following him, too, and you can see he followed him, too, the Nick Gallo.
J-Dub just mentioned our shirt on the broadcast.
Wow.
Hold on. Did he really? Yeah, I'm going to try to watch this. I'm going to try to watch this.
That's insane. I mean,
oh, we got Al. Welcome, Al.
Hey.
They're talking about it right now on the Valley Sports.
Yeah.
They're talking about the shirt?
They showed it like they just showed like the whole shirt for like 15 seconds.
Wow. That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I was impressed by Giddy. I know that it's anticlimactic to talk about Giddy now that we're discussing shirts and J-Dub. But he played a complete game, both ends. I mean, he played hard for the entire night and was extremely successful. That is something that I did not expect to see after game one. In game two and three, he was particularly effective, like a guy that you don't want to move off the court at any time. That's great news for OKC. I know that, I mean, in that building specifically, he's quite good in general. But it was nice to see him playing like that.
Yeah, it's totally wild how the center on Giddy idea went from this thing that we were like terrified of all season. How are we going to deal with this? And then he starts figuring it out at the end of the season, and then it just carries over in the playoffs because they finally did try it through stretches of this game.
Yeah.
And that was when he was playing some of his best. I mean, in that first half, when he started racking up everything, I mean, it was just great. And it doesn't feel as like there were points in this season where just the idea of that felt like it could be like a series changer in a negative way. And now it's one of those things like, yeah, he'll probably have a bad game, you know, in the second round. Somebody will guard him again like that. But he's shown enough now that it's not like he's going to have good nights too. He's going to have regular nights. It's just kind of like another thing he faces at this point. It's not this like big looming cloud over the Thunder, which it did feel like at certain parts of the season.
Man, I have this feeling just over and over again with this team, where it's just like, man, I can't believe this is like continues to happen because they,
yeah,
like it's unbelievable. I mean, this is game three of the playoffs. This is the playoffs, guys, and they traveled to New Orleans, and we know they haven't been good in New Orleans all season. But still, you think, okay, they're going to play better than they have. They only scored 92 points in Oklahoma City in both games. At halftime, they're actually on pace to score 92 points, and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening again. And then they hold them to 85 points, 21 points in the fourth quarter, 16 points in the fourth quarter, 23 in the third. They have made the Pelicans probably – they're going to have – it feels like they're going to have way more questions in the offseason about this team. And I know this is without Zion, like all of that. But they can't create hardly anything. You know, it's been an absolute disaster for them, and it's been kind of a revelation for the Thunder. They just don't have answers. That you have Dort, who was amazing today. And when you have Josh, Shea, J-Dub – And Chet didn't have to have like a big scoring game today, but when you have like all those guys clicking, I just don't know that there's honestly any team that can really hang with this Thunder team, you know, even this early.
Well, it's so funny because Bill Simmons, like when he said this was a scary series for OKC, like the reason why some people were saying that, one, because they had like these crazy ideas about Valanciunas, but the other one, which was more legitimate, was that the Pelicans do have just a ton of rangy wings that you can throw at OKC's ball handlers. And like you said, it turned out to like be the opposite. It turns out it's OKC's wings that have all the range and all the length and that just completely shut down New Orleans over these last two games in like kind of an incredible way. I mean, I do feel like that the outcome of this series is everyone's just going to be like, oh, the Pelicans were obviously terrible. Like they were just bad. And to be fair, I did pick a sweep. So I kind of felt that way too. But yeah. I hope that people give OKC the credit they deserve, especially for these last two games where they were just clicking nonstop.
Yeah, the defense, just the defensive showing, it's insane. They never left the foot off the gas. They went full throttle for the entire game, pestering anybody, not like yielding any screen defense and stuff like that. Yeah, they made maybe four mistakes in the entire game, one being the three that McCullough had in the corner after a very nice game from Larry Nance, but you can count them on one hand, the mistakes that they made defensively. And it's incredible for a team this young to be so focused the entire game. And as that Scott says in the chat, they left a lot on the table because Chet and Shea did not shoot the ball particularly well. So, I mean, this could have been like a 40-point game, something like that, if they had like a good night, Shea and Chet. Chet was something else defensively. I mean, like they were scared at getting at him defensively, offensively at the rim.
Yeah, Chet was unbelievable at the rim. They tried to poster him four times. They were like, let's just dunk on him. I don't know if we can win, but let's just dunk on Chet.
I can't believe that Trey Murphy keeps trying it.
Times.
I can't believe it.
Four times.
Just shoot a floater.
Yeah, dude. Try that. Guys, I'm going to go recording Dream Team Show now.
I just want to commemorate this. I think this is the first time that every single DTD member has been on the pod, which is amazing.
This hey, is did like, Michele, did you have to, like, did what was your Dort comments in our, I missed it. I jumped on too late. What was the appropriate praise that you bestowed upon Lou Gens Dort?
Well, I made a long monologue of 7 minutes on the Dream Team, basically apologizing for my takes over the past 3 years. No, it was awesome. I mean, the way in which he guards Ingram, the way in which he fights on every screen, it's just different stuff. I mean, there is literally nobody on the Pelicans roster that is getting like close to that effort. And then he has technique, and then he has everything else. So yeah, and. Yeah, I mean, it basically his threes cut the game open in the second quarter.
Yeah, so. was that second quarter when they went on that run where it felt like everybody just was hit? Yeah, because it's right. It was a 1-point game, and the Thunder went on like a 12-0 run. And, I mean, that's pretty much – I mean, it was it. And halftime, I don't know if y'all watch the TNT guys, but Charles Barkley had this moment. It kind of felt like, it's like, I'm assuming if I could put that Dream Team clip up to Charles Barkley, is they would probably sound the same, where Charles Barkley was just apologizing and celebrating Lugans Dort as well, and just his development and trying to use him as this, hey kids, if you really work at it, you can go from a 29% 3-point shooter to a 39% 3-point shooter. And he just celebrated Lugans Dort. I was like, man, this feels so much like Mekele. I am just blown away by Charles Barkley and Mekele's similarities.
Everyone always says about Mekele, that guy reminds me exactly of Charles Barkley.
Yes.
Every Monday, I close my eyes and I think I'm talking to Barkley.
Yeah. It's fair. I need to take all of this. Bye, guys.
See ya.
Bye, Charles.
See you, Chuck.
How about this stat? Chet for the series has 11 blocks. The Pelicans as a team have 10.
That's time.
Well, and there were even some tonight or today where I don't think Chet probably was credited as a block, where he didn't necessarily get the ball, but he met somebody at the rim and disturbed the play. And there was, you know, like, obviously my favorite one was, I think it was McCollum in the, like, I don't know, 8-9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And he kind of did this, like, it was just a concession finger roll. Like, he just threw it up almost like a volleyball spike, and Chet obliged him and just smashed it back down. And Chet is just a problem for other teams at the rim. And for all of the crap that the Thunder get for being small, it's the concession that they make for having the ability to play the way they do. And it's, I don't want to, like, I think all of us would feel pretty confident that the Thunder were going to win game four. It's so hard closing out a team. You know, who knows what they can do? Who knows what the Thunder do? But the Thunder came into this game so ready for the moment. And even at the beginning, where it was a little sloppy to start, it was like, oh, this is, New Orleans has nothing.
That felt like it was their shot, because like J-Dub gets hurt immediately.
Yeah.
They get a couple buckets, and it's just like, okay, if something's going to happen, like, you got to do it now. And the fact that OKC just kept it close that entire time, and then that allowed them to blow it open in the second. Like, there was just like never a shot. There was never a point where the Pelicans really looked that scary. Maybe like at the beginning of the third, they made that mini run to get it like to 10. You're mm-hmm. like, okay, is this going to be a game? And that was it. Like,
yeah,
the times of that game where the Pelicans looked good were very small.
Yeah.
And to put all that effort in, like, to put all that effort in to get within 10, did they get to 9? Maybe for a second.
It was maybe 9, but it always.
And then the Thunder just went on, like, I mean, I think it was like a 6-0, 7-0 run, put it back into 13 to 15 range. And it was, you could just feel the Pelicans like go, well, all right, that's it.
Yep. From the chat, my dream has come true. 6 dunkers. Well, not anymore. But if Josh and Dort as a unit are going to shoot like this, you can talk me into saying a bunch of crazy things. Yeah, I think if those two, because that's the game plan, right? Like, the game plan for the Thunder, if you're the other team, is, okay, we're going to make Lu Dort and Josh Giddey beat us, because we know that Chet, J-Dub, and Shai will beat us. And so we have to throw like our fastball at those three and just hope that those other two don't do it. Well, those other two, Josh was 4 of 7 from three and Dort was 4 of 8 from three. You will never win. You will never, ever beat the Thunder if those two are shooting like that. It just won't happen.
And the difference this year is, like, when Dort has those games, obviously it's, like, better than his regular season percentage, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like found money in the same way that has in previous seasons.
Yeah.
Like, it feels more realistic. Like, okay, Dort's just going to have some of these games now where he does hit 4 threes, and we shouldn't be that surprised.
Yeah,
to the dismay of that the one tweeter out there who just got dragged by Thunder fans.
Who is? I guess I didn't see this.
I don't know if you saw it.
No, I didn't see
it. It was a guy who works for the Action Network, and he got really pissed when Dort hit those 3 threes in a row because he had bet the Pelicans for the first half. I'll read you the tweet just because it is very funny. It's deleted. Well, Never mind.
That's how you know.
Oh, wait. No, here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Here. Welp, so much for that. 1 point game. And then Discount Dylan starts bombing threes three times in a row. And now we got to hear people talk about how valuable he is because he can guard Brandon Midgrum.
It's so pissed. Oh, my God. Discount Dylan?
I mean, Discount, if he was talking about his contract status, I would agree. He is cheaper than we're not paying him as much as Dylan Brooks is getting. So I agree with that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I do think like there was a narrative about Dort that I would say I was a part of, and Mikkeli was certainly a part of for many years, that kept being proven wrong in the playoffs or in big games at least.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt like, okay, that's cool, but like he's got to do it for a longer period of time. This season, he actually does it, and so now when he has those games, it's like, yeah, that's what he's been doing. He's been having games like this during the season.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll still have weird finishes at the rim, whatever, but the defense that he's giving you on Brandon Ingram, like now I just can't wait to see how they use him in the second round, regardless of who they play.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you, like, can you get away, and obviously Luka's going to score a ton of points no matter what, but can you get away just sticking Dort on Luka?
Oh yeah,
like they did.
I think
that's
exactly what they'll do.
Absolutely will, and he's going to score more than Ingram has. Like there's just no question about it.
He'll score a lot more.
But he makes guys' life really difficult. You know.
Yeah.
And you know it's great to have one of those guys on your team that you know that you can just throw on the opposing ball handler for 40 minutes, and you don't have to worry about it. You know, and if you need to get him a breather, and if Luka plays 45 minutes, you know, you feel like you can put J-Dub or Cason Wallace or even, you know, Kenrich hasn't really
Wiggins.
Played. So I think you can do – I mean, they have options, but like Dort.
Well, that was one of the ridiculous things that Zach Lowe acknowledged on the – he did like a playoff kind of update with Mo Dakhil, and he was just talking about the fact that he's like, it doesn't matter. Okay, so maybe it's not Lou. Well, then it's Cason Wallace. Okay, well, maybe those two aren't having it. Then it's Wiggs or Kenrich, or it's the Thunder just have this ability to throw a ton of bothersome defenders. Mm-hmm. And obviously the level decreases with each one of those guys comparatively to Dort, but it's not, I mean, it's a drop off that doesn't make it easier on these opposing wings to score.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it does, the Mavericks create, you know, issues matchup wise, if that's who it ends up being, because they also have Kyrie still, obviously, and they've improved in other positions. But I don't know, watching the Thunder have game one where you could tell the moment felt giant to them, to seeing who this team is in game four where they look like a one seed just running over an eight seed. It's just been, I mean, it's really been special to watch this team play. And I don't know, Dub that had moments tonight where it's like, or today where, what do you do? How do you even try to guard this team when you have Dub who's hitting step back three pointers? And not to mention, like you said, with Giddy and Dort having this game, it's pretty much impossible to guard this team. But I don't know, just watching their top three guys, because Chet was kind of a non-factor offensively, but it didn't matter. They still scored 106 points and shot 47% from the three-point line.
Yeah, I think that first game, just overcoming those jitters and getting to where, like, now in games two and three, them hitting their stride, playing how we want to play, and it's not us trying to make changes to deal with what the other team is doing. It is the other team now panicking, trying to find changes to do to deal with us, and they can't.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's right.
So what's your... Alex, what's your prediction as far as how the Pelicans come out in game four? Like, I could see them laying down. Do you think they're going to come out and...
Yeah, I mean, I picked a sweep, so I have to stick with it. So I just think that the Thunder, yeah, like Luke said, like once they got past that game one, it's just been a different team. Like the gap between these two teams has been gigantic in game two and game three. So I don't think that gap's closing. The only reason it would close is if they have a really hot shooting night, which could happen to any team on any night. I don't know what the final stats were for this game, but they continue to shoot just horribly from the corners. I know at one point they were 2 of 7 from the corners. So you'd have to imagine at some point they're going to hit some threes. But yeah, I'm still sticking with Thunder in four, which means I think we should give Taylor a little credit, because if this goes the way we feel like it's going, I think dream scenario, the curse of the dream scenario might be dead. Yeah. I think Taylor may have been right.
Believe. Jay, you owe me an apology, especially. You gave me way too much.
I was mad at both of you. Both of you and your confidence. I just was so, I mean, I'm just so a fan nervous. Of the team, bro. I'm just a fan I understand. Get it.
There were two of 10.
We just like the team, unlike you.
2 of 10 for the corner, by the way.
2 of 10.
Two of 10.
That's crazy.
It's been, I mean, what the last playoff series they won was 2016. It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting here and I'm just like watching you or listening to you, both of you feel so confident. Just made me go, this is quintessential backfire language here. And
well, you know, if it backfires now, it'll be really funny.
Yeah. We just will discontinue the podcast.
It'll be the first to ever lose a 3-0 lead.
First time it's ever happened. Yeah. Wow.
I mean, the that we, you know, if we get this done in four, they're going to have so much rest against either Dallas or the Clippers, who I think are going to go 7 games.
Yeah, it's going
to. I don't know. I mean,
series.
I want that to be true, but after
it
seeing
like
how
the Mavericks are going to go like 5 or 6.
I know. Kawhi looked so bad.
Yeah.
In that game, even though he did have like a few like athletic dunks randomly, I do worry that they're going to go up 3-1 and then it'll go back to game 5. Maybe you get a game 6, but. Yeah, but I mean, regardless, they are going to get more rest if they can finish this out in four, which would be great.
Yeah, we have a few super chats to get to. One from Clarky Boy. Thank you, Clarky Boy. From Paul Young says, shout out to Kaysen Wallace for filling in for J-Dub in the first quarter. He was so good.
He was really good.
His only 5 points he scored was during that stretch, but like defensively, he was great. Kaysen Wallace is an underrated connector too, just like as a passer and a guy who kind of knows where to be, and then defensively he like brings it all the time.
Well, the fact that you have that injury to J-Dub and the fact they're getting a couple early buckets and you're just like, oh man, maybe this won't be our game, and then Kaysen immediately comes in and hits that corner three, just like it personally settled me down, you know. I was a little worried, and Kaysen hitting that three was like, okay, we're fine.
We should also
you're petting Hank again.
We were planning on watching this live at Lively Beer Works, but had to change it because of the weather. We're rescheduling that to watch Game 4 on Monday, so everyone listening should know and go.
Yeah, good thing we stayed home.
Is it storming right now?
No.
Oh. But like
it rained. It rained a little bit at 1:00. There's a big storm cell out west of the city, but. You just don't know, man.
It wasn't a bad
decision.
We made the best decision we could with the information we had. That's it.
True.
That's all you can do.
Did you guys hear J-Dub whenever he went when he went over to the huddle afterwards to Nick Gallo? He like went to Nick Gallo and he said, "Did you see my shirt today?" And Nick Gallo was like, "Yeah, great shirt."
That's awesome.
Oh, on the air?
Yeah, on the air. And then they showed a picture of the shirt afterwards to reference it.
That was awesome. On Bally?
That was on Bally, yeah.
On Bally.
Yeah, I watched the TNT broadcast, which is now I'm realizing why it was. I had friends that were texting me during it, and they were like 4 to 7 seconds ahead of the stream.
Yeah.
And I'm like, TNT is just behind 4 to 7 seconds.
Yeah,
it's maybe 8 seconds. Behind.
Another super chat. Sauce says, the shirt pick on the website has already changed to J-Dub. Shout out Tayshawn for that one. Good job, Tayshawn.
On it.
Way to go. All right. What were you going to say, Al?
No idea.
All right. Sorry.
The vibes are incredible for this team.
It's incredible above immaculate. I don't know what the Luke vibe scale is.
Yeah. What is the scale?
The vibes, the highest really I'd say are immaculate vibes. And I think we are there. We are feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Andrew, I got to give you credit. Larry Nance, I believe he caught up today.
Yes.
I'll wait to there's a down to dunker who's keeping track of this, but the Valanciunas versus Nance minutes outplayed him 29 to 12 minutes today.
That's
that is pretty dramatic how the Valanciunas story went in this playoffs or in this series. 29 minutes, 23 minutes, 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Because there was, I would say that maybe other than Trey Murphy, because Trey Murphy had that stretch in the first quarter where he was really good. Like, Valanciunas looked like the best player on the Pelicans for in this series for stretches. Like, no one played better than him than he did during that like first stretch in game two. You know, like, he was that good, and for him to just be completely nullified by game three.
I think the Thunder are just so content with him just playing like a 1990s big that they're just like, great, we'll trade twos for threes or twos for, you know, flowing offense.
And the killer I was going to say, the killer for the Pelicans, you take out Valanciunas so you can go small, and it's like OKC's at their best when they're small. Like, now they don't have any size around the rim.
It's like,
not that Valanciunas is a
rim. Yeah, the Thunder out-rebounded him tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Today. Yeah, they were getting so many like offensive rebounds in that game. It was like, okay.
Well, and it was
All I was going to say is, you can just feel like a desperate, like, Willie Green is just like, all right, so what do we do now? Because there was even lineups where he went ultra small and they didn't even have, I think it was Najee Marshall was at center for a stint tonight too, or today too.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
It's a problem.
What were you saying, Taylor?
I was just going to say, sorry, my kids have been crying this entire time and I don't know what to do. So I'll probably leave here in a little bit. I don't know what's happening out there. But I was going to say, Jay, even, you know, in that first quarter of the Pelicans game, game two, when Valanciunas was going off, you look at the end of the quarter and Chet had 13.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, what you were saying, like, we'll trade threes for twos. Chet doesn't matter. Yeah, you could say, oh, Valanciunas destroys Chet. Chet can't guard Valanciunas. All right. He's just going to go down and hit his threes then.
And then also Chet did fine with him for the rest of the game.
It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then this game, say something about Chet this game. Say something about him.
Yeah, send in a super chat. Send us $10 and say something about say Chet. Something.
Yeah.
He was really impressed. Like, statistically, obviously, like 6 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, 4 blocks. Like, that's good. It's not like his best statistical game, but he just impacts. I mean, the reason that the Pelicans can only score 85 points in this game is because Chet locks down the paint, and then you have guys. I mean, Dort was obviously amazing again. J-Dub was really good. Shea's really good at playing his role. I think Giddey the past couple games has been actually good on defense. Like, he's just really trying. I mean, the defense, I think, has been like the real story for the Thunder, in that they look like they're one of the better defensive teams in the league. And they've been a top five team all season, but I think that once you get to the playoffs, like, oh, the game's changing. You know, this team is young. They're not as big. You know, they're not going to be able to do as much. And they've just been phenomenal. And then with the Pelicans, when you play Larry Nance, they then deploy a switchy lineup, which is actually probably what the Thunder want the most, because then you can get the defender that you want on whoever you want when they're playing a switchy lineup. And I know a lot of those Pelicans players are good, but if you're Shea or if you're J-Dub and you can choose your defender, I mean, it's just, I think that guys are just going to get cooked.
The Pelicans shot 48% at the rim in that game.
Yeah, that's
now
that's
the Thunder shot 52%.
Little better. Yeah, 12 of 23 for the Thunder. They were 8 of 13 in like the non-restricted paint shots, which Giddey's floater is just on right now. You know, they'll pass him the ball and he'll do like this, like almost like spot up floater. It's kind of a weird shot, but he'll just get it and he'll just like spot up float it, and like that's been on for him. And then obviously like the Thunder going, I mean, they were just really hot from three. They were 5 of 7 from corners and then 12 of 29 from above the break. And you know, when the Thunder are cooking like that, like there just ain't no way.
Your boy Will Guillory said, the Pelicans are the first team to score 92 or fewer points in three consecutive playoff games since the Raptors did it in 2016.
Wow. There's a lot of since 2016s happening with this OKC team in the first round. But that is a crazy stat that they just cannot score. And it's really just comes down to, like, they just don't have guys that can really dribble. Like, they don't have guys that can really break down a defense. And that to me was really apparent from game one. But it feels like the Thunder, as they continue to just tighten things over and over and over again, that, like, they have no answer. They just have absolutely no answer.
This really did end up being kind of the ideal first opponent.
Yeah.
For the reintroduction of the Thunder.
Yeah.
Back to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because it at least, for some people, looked close enough or challenging enough that people weren't completely writing it off at the beginning.
Yeah.
And so I think the Thunder were really able to show everyone that, no, this is a 1-8 matchup. We are a 1 seed. Mm-hmm. The Pelicans are a 8 seed. Mm-hmm. And this is how these things go. And it's just so funny to think now, like, I'm not going to be shocked if I hear, like, listen, it's impressive what the Thunder did, but if they had to play either of the other two West teams that are about to get swept, things might have looked a little different, you know?
All that stuff that was, like, at the beginning where it was like, oh, weakest 1 seed ever, and, like, I think that they're showing that that's not the case. Oh, I mean,
that's, hey, just... go Heat. Let's kind of, like, beat that narrative completely into the ground. if we can get the Heat up on Boston 2-1.
Yeah. And this is just like a, like, let them talk. Like, let people talk. Like, let people look stupid, you know? Like, it's just people being ridiculous. Any plays that stuck out? The one play where Josh crossed over CJ twice in transition. That's
crazy.
I'm trying to upload it now so that we can. Oh, Jay's gone.
My Jay.
I'm going to play it for us real quick.
He's got 4 already. Oh, nice job to go behind the back, getting by the defense.
Oh, no.
Sidesteps and takes it in. What a play.
Okay, that was a Jamal Crawford special.
That was so sick. That was
kind of out of nowhere. He did the one move, and it's like, okay, that was pretty cool. Yeah. I've never seen Josh do 2 moves.
Yeah,
single play.
He just looks so confident. I mean, and you were talking about it a little bit earlier, but man, like, what a huge deal for the Thunder to have him playing like this, because we saw a version of him that he was just a shell of himself for a long stretch of this season, and to not only have a player that you feel, like, confident having on the court, but a player that's, like, enhancing what the Thunder do is huge, because there were just points where I think we all felt like, oh my gosh, like, he's obviously not going to be able to play in the playoffs. You know, like, what are we going to do with him? Like, he's starting. Does he have to start? Like, what's going to happen here? And, like, credit to, like, the organization and the coaching staff and to Josh for just kind of gutting their way through what was obviously a horrible, like, personal time for him, but also just on the court, with the way that teams were playing him, he had to become so much more mentally strong in so many different ways for this outcome to happen. I mean, this is a top level outcome for Josh, just mentally, you know, because I don't think a lot of 20-year-olds, you know, go through what they did personally, professionally, everything, and, like, come out the other side as fast as he did, honestly, and become just, I mean, he looks like a better player. I mean, I think he has become a better player, but it's just honestly pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah.
And I'm interested to see, let's just say it's the Mavs, or it could be the Clippers. Like, they also have, like, similar centers in the sense that they might be better defensively than Valanciunas, but they're kind of, like, in that tier of centers. Like, they're not top tier centers, you know, Daniel Gafford or Zubats. They're good centers, though, and I think you're going to hear the same conversations that people had before this series about those series. And so, one, I'm interested to see, like, can Chet punish them? Because it should be the same kind of dynamic where if he can pull them away from the rim, or they have to make some kind of decision. And then the other side of that would be, okay, if they decide they don't want, like, Zubats pulled away, or they don't want Gafford pulled away, they're going to put him on Giddy. And so what is Giddy going to be able to do? Like, this has been a good series for Giddy. I don't think it's going to stop teams from needing to try that. you know, needing to try that. It's not as much about just like, let's target Giddy. It's like, we got to figure out something with Chet.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is better for our defense to have our center guard Giddy and just hope that he misses his threes and that it clunks up their offense.
Yeah, it's a really good point. And I've actually asked opposing coaches about this and even talked with, you know, people are around even Josh about this, but teams are doing this and it's two-pronged. It's always been, okay, Josh is kind of a weaker link, obviously a weaker shooter. Like we can hide him there. But like the first thing was always, we can't guard, you know, Chet with a traditional drop big, you know? And like that is typically the very first thing that's mentioned. You know, when I ask opposing coaches about cross matching, the first thing they say is not, well, Josh is someone that we want to kind of, you can kind of mess with, or not mess with, but somebody that you can get away with. It's that, no, like we have to figure out how to defend Chet, and we can't with a drop big. And it is interesting now that Josh has one, like he feels completely comfortable now. Josh feels completely comfortable playing against those cross matches. And I want, you know, you want to see teams try it, because I think that he definitely feels like, and also feels like he doesn't have to prove it. I think that was like part of like the difficulty with him early on, is like when you're trying to force something, when you're really trying to prove something, a lot of times you're not at your best. And, you know, I feel like he's just more comfortable with his game at this point, which I think is part of the reason why he looks so good.
Yeah, and, you know, to in Dallas's favor, like they at least do have like a long wing in Derrick Jones Jr.
Yeah.
That you could throw on Chet, and it could potentially work out. So I do think Giddy's going to have a good series if it does end up being Dallas. Though we know that if he doesn't, it's not like they're going to leave him out there. Like they have other options. But at least at the outset, it seems like the plan for Dallas should be obvious defensively, at least there. I mean, with their other guys, I don't really know what you do. I mean, you're going to have to put, you know, like Kyrie and Luka are going to be guarding like J-Dub, I guess.
Yeah.
In that scenario.
Yeah.
I guess you would put Luka on Dort. And Kyrie's going to have to probably guard Shea. That would put PJ Washington on Dub, or maybe you start Josh Green.
Yeah.
I don't know
either.
When you get to that part of the floor, then it's like, they don't really have a lot of great options for this.
Yeah.
So that should be an advantage for Oklahoma City, but yeah.
The atmosphere of the Pelicans
arena.
I just think was... I mean, it shows you what a great fan base we have.
Yeah.
Because it did not seem like theirs was a factor. And, you know, they did the same thing where it's like half off drinks and food for 2 hours before and all that stuff.
Yep.
And it didn't affect our team at all. It didn't feel like, and I think the crowd at Paycom is crazy for people to come into.
In the Pelicans fans' defense, like this is now two straight playoff appearances where their absolute best player gets injured and is out. Yep. Like that is so demoralizing.
Yeah,
that's
awful.
It's brutal. There was actually a really interesting tweet from Shamit Dua. He does like the In the Know podcast for the Pelicans. This was before the playoffs, and he was making the case that he thought the playoffs had the potential to be a negative for the Pelicans because he was worried that Brandon Ingram was going to get exposed and that his trade value would go down.
Uh-oh.
And like, man, he nailed that.
That was correct, sir. Yeah. Ingram is, and part of it, like, I don't think Ingram is fully healthy. Like, I don't think he's 100%, I think is also a bummer. But also, if you are wanting to trade him and essentially maybe get another ball handler or another shooter or something to put around Zion, because I think you feel as, and also I don't know how you can feel comfortable building around Zion with his health and him unable to just, you know, stay on the court. I think it's been a problem, but I think that you know that what you need around Zion, though, that if he's healthy, that you need shooting, you need defense, you need another ball handler. And so I think it's going to be tough, though, to trade Ingram for something that's equal value. In the chat, super chat, El Sombra Regio 7, what maturity was that was shown in the second? The Pels got the lead to 1, and Mark adjusted to put Giddy plus started help side on JV. It caused 2 straight misses and led to a 14-2 push that led to 15, ended the game there. Yeah. I think Mark has been phenomenal. That's the thing, too, is like the players have been really, really good, but Mark has been putting them in such great position over and over again. And I think it's something that we had hoped we would see in the playoffs. And so, and he kind of profiles as a guy that would be a good playoff coach. But it, you don't know until you see it, you know. And I think that he's been really good at getting these guys ready, having them prepared. And then as the series goes, like the Thunder have just gotten better. Like they have just started to just shut the water off in other ways that the Pelicans are probably just looking around like, all right, what do we do? You know,
yeah.
Even like Jose Alvarado, who I thought would be like a pest and somebody who I thought going into the series would be just brutal for OKC and a guy that people would be annoyed with. People aren't even annoyed with him. There's nothing to be annoyed about.
I'm a little annoyed. He has continued every single time he gets hit. There was one today where it was like the like phantom push off or whatever. But he once again like fell to the floor.
Oh, and just acted like he was gonna die. Yeah.
Yes, he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
But you know, Dort has had his fair share of flopping, and I know Pelicans fans were pissed about the refs, and there were a few calls. Like one of those Chet blocks, he absolutely like hit Murphy on his arm.
Yeah.
And then that BI three, what a crazy shot to make. I just don't know how you don't call that a foul when Dort is just completely on him.
I don't know either. That should have been a 4-point play. Like there's no question about it. But there's also stuff that goes the other way too. Like Shea has not been able to get to the line as much as he would want. He did more in this game than he has in the previous two. But like
I think the bigger point is that OKC so far has seemed to be able to adjust to these new rules, like the way that they're calling the game now.
Yeah.
Like you have to be physical. You should be physical because you're probably going to get away with it more times than not, at least compared to early in the regular season. So like you got to be because that's an advantage that you can take if you're willing to do it.
Yeah, I think and that is why I think them seeing the rules kind of change early were a really good thing for them. Just like getting the cross matching early on in the season like turned into a good thing for the Thunder.
Hey,
shout out to the Rockets. That was a huge gift to the Thunder and to Josh and to the coaching staff just because it was like, oh, okay. But teams stopped doing it as much as the season went on and as Josh started to figure it out. Teams stopped doing it. And, you know, they just really haven't done it in this series, which is crazy. Maybe something that they'll do to start game 4 is like, all right, the last box we can go to is cross-matching with Josh, and let's see how it goes. But the problem for them is that they saw how it went in the last regular season game against the Thunder, and Giddy was amazing. So I don't know what you do. I'm not sure there is a true answer for the Pelicans in this one. I think this is pretty much over. And I think it's over, but it's just now, is it going to be in 4 or 5? And can the Pelicans even sniff 100 points in a game? And if they can't, like it's like truly over.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense was so good in that game 1, and that's the part of that game that made me not wary, but just like, oh, this might be a little bit tougher series than I thought, just because I was like, man, if they can play that well defensively, but man, from game 2 on, like OKC offense has just been humming nonstop. Mm-hmm. Like there's been little stretches, like when they went to zone in game 2, and there were a few plays where you're like, ooh, it's starting to bog down a little bit, but outside of that, like they've looked super comfortable.
It seems like whenever that does happen, that Dagnall makes the change necessary and they get out of it.
Yeah.
They either figure it out or he makes a change and it, they go on. And that has been really good to see.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's why I'm so excited about these next rounds, plural, perhaps.
Ooh.
Because even if they lose, you know, next round to Dallas, if they do lose to Dallas, it'll be because Dallas has some advantage against them and we'll get to see Mark trying to figure it out. And yeah. He seems like the type of coach that is willing to make significant changes. Sort of like, I always think of Ty Lue in the playoffs as the type of coach that's just like willing to try anything once another team figures something out. So if Dallas does have some natural advantages, which I'm sure they do, I mean, they have Luka and Kyrie, if they figure out something really good, like maybe it's like the lob game with Gafford or something, getting to see Mark try to figure that out, I think is really exciting.
Yeah.
Because I know he'll try something. He's not going to be one of these coaches that just like lets a team pick them apart the same way for four straight games and lose a series, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not going to be old Scott Brooks days where no changes ever.
Yeah.
Until like deep into a playoff series.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, one of the adjustments that he's made is like he has played a shorter rotation. He has not played, basically just not played Kenrich, which I think is a really interesting adjustment. And I don't really quite get it, because I think Kenrich is somebody that could play against this Pelicans team. But obviously, like I have no qualms, because it's obvious, like everything is working. It's all clicking right now. Here's J-Dub post game. What do you guys think about this fit?
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, I really can't critique his clothing since he's decided to wear our shirt. So, oh, yeah.
No, I'm just even trying to figure out what it is.
Is that separate? Is it a separate ski mask or is it connected?
I don't know.
I think it's separate.
I think it is
and separate. It looks like it's bedazzled.
It is definitely bedazzled all the way around.
Is that a balaclava? Is that what that's called?
Oh, I don't know.
Balaclava usually covers your neck? Mouth. Nose. But maybe that does count as one.
Huh.
Maybe. I don't know. Apparently, they posted the post-game interview where they show the shirt on ESPN NBA thing. We need to try to find it.
On their Twitter or what?
On their YouTube, I think. In the comments, it said that.
Can you guys just imagine if this exact same thing was happening, but with the Paul George chicken fried rice shirt?
Man. I don't think that is possible. The Paul George chicken fried rice shirt, the further we get away from it, it's just like bizarre that it exists.
Yeah, it is very weird. I'm sure that like there's probably a lot of people in this chat that aren't aware of it. That was a long time ago.
It's right when we started. Like I think
that was like 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah,
where there's probably a lot of dunkers that don't know about it. So we made a weird shirt. I still see it sometimes at the arena. People will wear it.
So funny. It is for people that don't know. It is a bowl of chicken fried rice, but the chicken in the fried rice is little Paul George heads, and it says below it, Paul George chicken fried rice.
We were like talking about Boba Tea, and then I don't know. We're talking about Kevin Durant being mad about Boba Tea, and I don't
place,
know.
Oklahoma City Pungs, which I had yesterday, so good.
Yeah, nice.
And said, and then we were talking, and I think at the time Oklahoma Shirt Company was advertising with us.
Yeah.
Came out like you can put anything you want, and we said you can put, and we described that shirt.
Yeah,
that we made that shirt, and I think we sold like 30.
Yeah,
yep. Andrew, I have another bet for the playoffs going
Ooh.
Forward. Who will score more points in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
Gordon Hayward or Lindy Waters? Who are you taking?
Oh, that's a
now,
good one.
If you're picking Lindy, you're betting that OKC is going to have some blowout wins.
Yeah.
He's going to get in.
Yeah.
If you're picking Hayward, you're just betting that these consistent 10 minutes he's getting eventually will lead to a single point.
Yeah.
I'd go Gordon Hayward.
I think I am going to stick with Gordo. I still.
All right. That means I got to take Lindy.
I could see it. I could see it going either way.
It could definitely go either way, similar to our Valanciunas bet, which will be decided in game four.
I know. I'm worried. I'm very worried it, now.
After game one, I was like, man, I'm toast. That was a bad take.
You know, do you guys have anything on the line for it? Like, does the winner get anything?
No.
Pride and joy.
You just got to keep bringing it up.
Yeah. You just got to.
That's enough of a win.
Yeah, I was going to say. Just not getting embarrassed.
I get it. I have a bet, and it's that I placed several months ago that the Thunder would win it all, and if I win, I get like $7,000. So I'm
you gotta be feeling pretty good right now.
Hoping. That means I just have to go to Vegas and get it, which will be fun, you know.
We should all go with you.
Well, everyone's invited. It'd be great.
Wouldn't that be great? Because
I bet $400 on it, which I'm not like a big. This is the first sports bet I've ever put.
Wow!
And you came out of the gates with 400.
Well, I put 400, and then I put 100 on SGA as MVP.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so,
man, it's your money bags.
I was just feeling it, you know. My brother-in-law was going to Vegas, and I was like, "Let's do it." I was feeling exceptionally high. This was like back in like the beginning of February.
Yeah.
My betting strategy is I put $25 in my account like three times a year. I make a bunch of like $2 five-leg parlays, lose them all, then forget that I have money in there for another like 6 months, and then remember and then lose the rest of it. That's kind of been my strategy.
Well, a lot of people do that same strategy with a whole lot more money.
I know. I could. That would be tough. I would be a bad gambling addict.
I think if I win this, it's going to ultimately lead to just a total breakdown as I become a degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be cool if that became your thing on the pod. Like, you're going through the lines every week. You get super into it.
Yeah.
You start dressing differently. You're wearing a lot more chains.
Oh, yeah. I could.
Actually, I feel like you do wear a lot of chains.
He wears a lot of bracelets.
I got a lot of
bracelets.
I don't like it. But it's going to chains after this.
Yeah.
It's going to be real.
We got a ton of people in the chat. If you guys will just do this for me, just hit the like button. That would be so nice. If you just take just a second. On your phone or on the computer or however you're watching this. Can you do it? Can you hit the like button if you're watching live on your TV?
Yeah, you can. I've done it.
Okay.
I watch a lot of stuff on TV.
Hey, right. Andrew, who do you prefer to watch your extreme weather? Which weather guy do you use?
I'm usually going Damon Lane.
Damon Lane?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, more like Damon Lame, it sounds like.
Wow, he's my third.
Really?
I like the aesthetic of Channel 5.
The aesthetic?
See, that's interesting because I always chose Channel 4 because the colors look better for whatever reason on Channel 4.
Oh.
I think they're brighter and more vibrant.
I like it on Channel 5. If you're going for crazy, I think you go Channel 4, though. Like, if you're just looking for entertainment, I think you go Channel 4.
Wow.
And that's Mike Mitchell, correct?
Mike Morgan, right?
Mike Morgan, Mike Mitchell, Mike Morgan. I'm sorry. He's good, but flashy ties.
Who's Channel 9 now?
David Payne. That's who I like.
Payne is good. They're all. I mean, legitimately, they're all good.
Well, I mean, I think if you're doing it in Oklahoma because we have so much like weather like that, you have to be good.
Yeah.
And yeah,
they're all good. I don't know. I like Damon Lane.
Okay. Hey, as long as you, whoever keeps you safe, you know?
He's kept me safe. Whoever, yeah.
Weather safety with. Ultimately, I can't fault you for it.
Yeah. Let's do some predictions before we get out of here. Thunder play on Monday.
The plant behind Alex, real or fake?
It's fake. I thought it was real for months.
Were you watering
it? I realized I never watered it.
Is that chugga chugga too?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Say, what's up, boy?
What's up, dude? Callum. I don't think he can hear us.
Yeah,
Callum, does Callum have a prediction?
No, he doesn't care about basketball at all.
Chugga chugga tutu.
I'm going sweep. I think it's over. I just think that the Pelicans have just, they laid down and died in this one. And so I think that it's going to be – I think it's over Monday. What do you guys think?
Name. Barkley agreed with you. He brought out the broom at halftime and said it's over.
Yeah.
So I agree. It's a sweep, and it feels good.
Yeah.
Sweep as well.
Yep. Totally agree. thank you guys so much for tuning in on YouTube here on a Saturday. Tons of people. Again, please just hit the like button. That would just make my day to see tons of likes on this video. Also, if you'll comment, not just in the chat, but make a comment on the video itself. Just get a little conversation going. That would be
come
great.
Come on Monday. Come and watch the sweep happen lively beer works if you're in Oklahoma City and want to watch with the crew.
Yep. We'll be there on Monday night. We will do a post-game show from Lively. So be there. Be square. It's going to be really fun. Sorry to anybody that went there today. It just we had to make a decision earlier in the day, and that just felt like the wisest choice to make. And so we did that, but we will be there on Monday at Lively Beer Works, Monday night. Time is still TBD. It depends on whether the Lakers get swept or not. If the Lakers get swept, it'll be a later game. And so we'll be there later. And if the Lakers somehow pull out would feel like a miracle to win one game against the Nuggets, then the Thunder will play a little bit earlier. So either way, we'll be there hanging out. There will be a food truck. There will be good times had and a post-game pod. So be sure to join us on Monday night, Live at the Beer Works, downtown OKC. Looking forward to that. And we will talk to you guys again on Monday.
Peace.
Cool.
Cool, cool.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.